Welcome to Up Close and Personal with your host, Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Sit back and enjoy the journey where the possibilities are limitless. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Up Close and Personal with yours truly, Latin Jazzy, a.k.a. Annie. Oh, my God, we've been on back now for 2 weeks, and I have talked to so many artists in the past 2 weeks, and I can't believe the month is about to end. But that brings good things, because today I have someone on the show that he is not only called as a the magic man. I think he has that magic touch, you know, someone that has been around for a couple of decades, if not more, someone who is one of the most sought-after producers, someone who is coming out with a new album, well, he has come out with it, and it drops tomorrow. And he is just amazing, and I'm talking about none other than Paul Brown. Welcome, Paul.
Annie, how you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. We both sound so tired.
20 hours.
How are you, man?
Everything's all right. Just been burning the midnight oil in the studio trying to finish a project up for tomorrow. So that's what we're doing.
Isn't that awesome? Well, congratulations on this project. It is amazing. It has so many feelings. It has so many. It's so eclectic, and you have so many beautiful people collaborating with you on this album. And I want to say congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun to make, and I'm very proud of it.
You should be. You should be. Well, what brought this album along? You know, the last one, Truth Be Told, was amazing as well. But this one, like I said, it has a little bit more eclectic feeling. It has that bluish kind of feeling and some really, really good vocals. So, what brought this project together?
Well, I mean, you know, most projects, I think, are just a culmination of everything you've done before and sort of leading me back to where I began with more of a bluesy kind of an approach. And, you know, so everything that went before it sort of, you know, went into making this record. And the one way back is sort of a feeling about, you know, going down all these various roads that bring you to where you are, and in my case, bringing me back to my roots and just sort of a more bluesy, jazzy kind of vibe.
Very, very nice. I want to start with one song that when I first heard it, it just gave me goosebumps. There's something about this song, and I can't quite get the feeling of it, but it's really a fantastic song, and that is Heaven. Can you tell me a little bit about Heaven? I love that song.
Well, I'm in a blues band. I started a blues band about a year and a half ago with another guy named Paul Brown, who lives in Nashville, who's a keyboard player, and another producer. And so we put this group together called Brothers Brown with two Paul Browns. And anyway, we've written a few songs for that project, but he wrote that song for a project he was working on. He sent it to me with this girl singing, and I just loved the song. And I was like, man, let me see if I can sing that. You know, it's going to be down in my lower register, which is actually more my normal singing voice. And but I haven't really ever recorded myself in my, you know, lower register. And it has a completely different kind of soulful gospel feel to it, actually. And it's just a beautiful song and it's a simple song, but, you know, very heartfelt.
It surely is. And I'm starting with that. Here it is. From One Way Back, which debuts tomorrow. It drops tomorrow.
Just jumped to the last song. Love it.
I love that song. I mean, I'm telling you, it just took me all around.
Well, it's my wife's favorite thing that I've ever
really?
Recorded. So she's just over the moon about it. She's like, you know, well, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, she's not really a super jazz fan. She loves vocal music, and she even likes country music. And I think this has a little of that going for it. So I think that's probably why she likes it so much. And it's a very nice lyric.
Yes, and not only that, we're very eclectic here. I listen to jazz all day. My daughter listens to a country all day. And, you know, it's a mixture, and it's really, and even the vocals are amazing. I mean, and what it's saying, you know, it's a great song, and I would love to play it. And here it is, Heaven.
I've been working in this field of hopes and dreams. Sowing rows of promises till I'm down to my last seeds. The only rain of faith to see them through and build me a rainbow that leads me back. You can't know how hard I've tried, 'cause you weren't there the times I've cried. And you can't know how bad I felt, 'cause you weren't there the times I knelt down on my knees and said a prayer. I'd awake and you'd be there, but by the time my arms reach heaven, you know it seems like your heaven's away.
You can't know how
Well, all right.
That totally touched me.
Well, I kind of, listening to it all in this kind of setting, it feels like sort of Van Morrison meets, I don't know.
It's hot.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
Oh man, and I'm not like your wife. I'm not into vocals that much, But dang, when I heard that, I was like, "You go, Paul."
All right. Well, my parents are both singers, and I think we talked about that before. Yeah, but my mother loves my voice, but my dad is really not a fan of my voice, and mainly. Because usually I'm singing way up high out of my register, and he doesn't like the way that sounds. But I actually played this for him the other day, and he's like, halfway through, and he's like, "Who is this?" I said, "It's me." He goes, "Really?" I goes, "Wow, you finally sound like you're singing in a normal voice. I love it." So it was the first time he's ever had a positive reaction to a vocal of mine. It's pretty funny.
Oh, that is so nice. That is so nice. I hope they're both doing well. That is amazing. This album, like every other album you make, is unique. It doesn't sound like your previous album. You have a mixture of all of it together. What was the main object that your focus when you make this album?
Well, I kind of wanted to instead. Normally I have like a bunch of saxophonists come and join me, but this time I wanted to get my guitar buddies on there, and instead of just sort of doing a song of mine and having like a Peter White or Chris Standring or a Chuck Blow or Marc Antoine come in and just play on one of my songs, I thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to produce a song that sounds like one of their songs and then have them come in and play on it, and I'm just going to sort of, play over the top of that. So it's going to be on my album. It's going to have a thread of my style, but it's going to have a lot of their style. So it's kind of a production, the choice that I made. But and I like it. I Chuck Lowe wrote a beautiful track, and Peter White, was on a track, and Marc Antoine wrote a beautiful song, and so did Chris Standring, and they all sort of sound like those guys. So it's pretty nice.
It is. It is indeed. Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah.
What
that
about
was,
this song? Chris Trandy, right?
we played the Pizza Express in London last year, and actually this year, and we were hanging around Piccadilly Circus one day, and I said, you know what? He has a song. I can't remember the title of it now, but it's a really cool vibe, this song. I said, can you write me a track like that? He's like, sure. So when he got back, he did. He wrote this track, and it really does sound like a Chris Standring track. And then we got together and wrote that melody. He's actually playing nylon string guitar on the song. So but the music itself really has a Chris Standring vibe. I really like the song.
I do too. And I can't remember if that was the trip that you guys were taking pictures together, or was that in New York?
I commented
on that picture and those pictures so much. You guys were one hot, sexy pair in those pictures. Okay, well, I'm going to play Piccadilly Circus with Chris Brandon and Paul Brown. Thank you. A drummer, then as an engineer, and then you've worked with some of the greatest names out here, Diana Ross, Luther, Aretha. You've been, a two-time Grammy winner. You have produced so many, but so many number one hits. Plus, you perform on your own. How do you change hat, and how have you evolved from being from the beginning as a drummer to now?
Well, they all just seem to have a natural progression for me. I know it's a little unusual, but after working on so many records with so many different amazing artists, I sure learned a lot about how to play and how to keep the interest of the listener for an hour on a CD, which is not as easy as it sounds, but it took a lot to get me to that point where I could make my own CDs, and it also took me a lot to get out there and play live, after being a drummer and being behind the scenes as a producer engineer. I never fronted a band before. So now being, up front and doing that whole thing, it's a different animal, but it's all kind of the same. It's just about playing music, and that's all I ever really wanted to do. So, I just keep moving forward. And now with the blues band, I'm singing all night, which is another, being the lead singer of a blues band is a whole other hat. So it's fun, though. Everything inspires, the other. And when I'm on the road, I can't wait to get back in the studio. I'm in the studio, I can't wait to get back on the road. So it's all good.
It's all good. Well, all right. Talking about all well, all right. Can you tell me about that song?
Yeah, that one is really a trip because originally I wanted to write a song that kind of was a, audience participation kind of a song. I say, all right, audience is all right, it's sort of one of those. So I actually sang the song and turned it in, and the record company similar, my dad was like, I don't like the vocal. So I said, really? Okay. So I had been working with this guy, Don Bryant, who he wrote, I can't stand the rain on my window, you know, for Ann Peoples, who he's actually married to. And he's written just some amazing songs. And his voice, you know, it's from that Al Green, Obie Wright era. And he sang with all those people and Ann Peoples. And when it came time, I asked him, I said, man, would you consider singing the song on my album? And he was also looking for a song that he could do in his set. And we've been doing some live gigs together. And he really got into the song. He just sang that thing down one time and just absolutely slayed it. I mean, he's the real soul man. And it's not some, you know, kid from Tarzana trying to sound like a soul man. It's the real thing from Memphis, Tennessee. He's the man. Love his voice.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And so here it is. Well, all right. tell you a little
something.
What?
You can't mess
with
that.
I know, you can't. You can't top that. I usually, when the music comes, most of the times it comes in, you know, the physical CDs, I will copy it into my hard drive and put it away. It doesn't get touched ever again, right? In your case, you send the MP3, so I was listening to it. And my daughter, she's, like I said, she's very eclectic, and she heard me playing. And she's like, do you mind if I make a copy of that so I can listen in the car? Never does she usually do that. But yours, she was like, I like that. That is hot. So it's a beautiful album. It's a beautiful album. I want to know something. What is it about Paul Brown? What is it about your techniques? What is it about your whatever it is, that magic touch that you have, that people reach out to you and you make hits? What is it that you bring to the table?
I don't know, and I feel like if I define it, maybe it'll go away. So I don't.
Oh, well,
bother.
They don't. Oh, heck no.
It's like it's a mystery, and I like to keep it that way. I mean, I've been lucky to work with some really amazing artists, and you know, a lot of it is my. I think, like, from being a drummer, I have a lot of the music that I make is really very pocket oriented. You know, and you can play. Or sing a phrase or play drums. You can play the drums. You can play the same beat as the next guy's playing the same beat, but the pocket's totally different. And it's like that with every instrument and every step of the way. And in the you know, example of the drums, it's very obvious that it's a different pocket, even though they're playing the same part. But it's like that on every instrument. It's more subtle on some instruments. And with guitar playing, it's pretty obvious, too. I mean, I can play a solo, and then somebody else can play the exact same solo. It has a completely different feel to it. And luckily, my pocket, which I think was, you know, basically because I was a drummer, has a certain flavor to it that people seem to like. And so I think that's part of it. I'm not sure.
Well, whatever it is, honey, keep it on. You've worked with, you know, like we said before, so many people. Is there one in particular that you still, you know, say, oh, man, one day I want to play with this person, or one day I want to write for this person? Is there any, or have you fulfilled all of your, you know, desires to work with someone?
No, of course. There's tons of artists out there I would love to work with, and most of them are singers, although, I mean, I really wanted to work with Joe Sample and unfortunately didn't get a chance to. He was one of my, you know, favorites. I mean, there's guys even in the pop world like Ed Sheeran I really love. I love John Mayer a lot. And I would love to do another record. I would love to do a jazz record with Aretha or someone like that. Or Alison Krauss would love to do a jazz record. She's got an amazing voice. So there's things out there I would love to do for sure.
Well, I hope you accomplish them all. Put it where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Well, Joe Sample wrote that song for the Crusaders. And, you know, Larry Carlton, who's one of my, you know, favorites and one of my biggest influences, played on the original version of a song. And my record company has been asking me to record that song since I've known him. So about 6 years now, he keeps asking me, man, you got to record, put it where you want it. I'm like, okay. So on this record, I say, okay, but I didn't want it to sound like the Crusaders. As much as I love their version, I just didn't want to copy it. And it was hard to bring something new to that such a classic, you know, vibe that they put on it. But, you know, the original version for the musicians out there, you know, it's like check and check and check and check, you know. Da 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 da, check and check and check. And the bass is going dum 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 dum, pretty much filling in all the space. So I decided I was going to try and break it up and have it be sort of more R&B. So the drums are like dum dum gas, dun dun, you know, and the bass is like dun dun, dun dun dun. So it creates this different kind of a flavor for the song, and the melody is so classic that it just works on top of it. And I also didn't want to have the horns on the original, you know, ba da da ba yo ba, you know, the big horn moment. I didn't even want horns on there. I just wanted guitar to play that, and then the horns. I hired this guy Lee Thornburg from Tower Power, and he came up with this. So it's like, you know, I play ba da 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 yo da, and the horns go ba da ba da ba ba da ba yo ba, and then when we're done with it, I was like, well, we might need a little bit of extra help on ba da ba ba da ba. So I had him put muted trumpet on there, so it doesn't sound anything like the Crusader. So that's how it sort of, you know, evolved into what it is.
And
in
awesome
terms of what
it
this
is.
Means, that's a good question. I was going to do a video on the song and, you know, put it where you want it. I mean, the sort of sexual overtone to it, but I really think it's more of a goes into the studio where you're when you're deciding what groove and what tempo to play a song.
And you put it where you want it. What you
want
to hear,
you
want. What
you
want to make it sound. Yep.
Yeah, which is, I think, the origin of the title.
Well, here it is. Put it where you want it. And up close and personal here tonight with Paul Brown.
All right.
Thank you.
What are your expectations for this album? How do you want the fans to leave, or you know, once they finish listening to this album, what do you want them to feel? What do you want to get from us, your fans, from this album?
Well, I'm hoping that they just get a really nice, soulful, warm feeling from it, and it's really meant not to challenge one's intellect, but just sort of to, you know, wash over you, hopefully, and be very good feeling that you get from it.
Nice.
I want it to embrace you, not push you back.
There you go. Yeah, it does, and track after track, and not just because of the collaborators that you had in it, but this is a very different album from the other ones that you have made. This is what your 12, how many albums is this? Eight, okay.
Eight.
And you've been doing this, your debut was 12 years ago when you did Upfront. And as a musician, I mean, you have given us so many aspects of you. And this one is very, very, very personal. It seems like a very personal project. And
I
guess that's why I love it so much. Yeah.
Well, I hope that's the case.
Yeah, it is, to me anyway. Take Flight. Can you tell me a little bit about Take Flight?
That one was the one that they decided I wanted to get Peter White to come in on. And the song kind of has a Peter White flavor to it. But, man, as soon as he started playing on it, it was like, well, sounds like a Peter White song. And it just took off, you know.
And it's funny because you've produced albums for all, most of these people or played with them before on their own albums, and now they are collaborating with you, and that must be, like, really, really off the chain, you know.
Yeah, the one thing about our little, you know, contemporary jazz community is there's a lot of that, and it's very nice when it happens. And everybody's pretty good-spirited about it, and there's been a lot of really nice collaborations that have come out of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here it is, Take Flight with Paul Brown and Peter White. good old Peter White. Wow. So many questions. Now,
you know what you get kind of when you put brown and white together, right? Beige, beige, you get beige. Thank you very much.
Hey, Billy. Hey, Billy. I remember when we last talked, when Truth Be Told came out, you were kind of saying that you were still finding yourself as a musician. Well, here we are 2 years later with a hot album out. Have you found yourself yet?
Oh, hell no. It's going to be a while.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
When you find yourself, you're done.
Yeah, there you go. That's true. That's true. Nothing else to look forward to.
Exactly.
Riverwalk. Riverwalk has Marc Antoine, who's coming out with an album as well. And so is Chuck Lope. Everybody's coming out with albums tomorrow. Gerald,
yeah,
everybody's
really
coming
amazing
out
right now. Peter, too. Yeah, it's like all of a sudden, bam.
Can you tell me about this song with Marc Antoine?
Yeah, well, we did a record back a few years called Foreign Exchange, and during that recording process, we had a couple of songs that we had partially written that weren't included on the CD, and that was one of them, and I sort of resurrected it and, you know, did a new guitar performance on it, added a few things like live drums and so on, and played it for Mark, and he's like, oh, man, it's great. It's great. Yeah, put it in the album. It's great. So that was how that came to be.
Awesome.
French, you know? French.
Yeah. He is so adorable. I'm hoping that he comes onto the show soon. Here it is, Riverwalk with two unique gentlemen, Paul Brown and Marc Antoine. love it. I have a question, Paul. If you had to do any do-overs, would there be any do-overs for Paul today?
You mean musically? You mean
anything in your career? If you had to do over again?
Nah, I'm not a believer in that sort of stuff. They let it all hang out and let the chips fall.
Great, great. Now, if there was anything to fix in this genre. They say
bring
if it's not
fix.
Broken, why try and fix it? But if there was anything that you don't that you see that could be changed in this genre, in the business, what would that be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say anything negative about the genre. You know, I mean, it's been very good to me and probably to you too. But
so like I said, if it ain't broken, don't try and fix it, right? We leave it at that.
Right. Well, no, it's definitely broken compared to how it used to be, but it's still, you know, kicking along. But I think at some point it just got a little bit too one-dimensional in terms of what people were, you know, doing. And part of that was because, you know, radio started getting more corporate and more singles-oriented. And, you know, back in the days when, like when I first started with Boney, you know, I had never done jazz before. I was basically an R&B, you know, musician and a producer working with Luther and that kind of stuff. And when I met Boney, you know, I told him, I said, man, if we did, you know, he knew I worked with Luther and he really wanted me to produce his record. And I said, you know, if we did a Luther record with saxophone, I'd be into it. But I wasn't interested in making a jazz record per se. And he was like, yeah, that sounds good. You know, we got to change your name too, you know, from Jim Oppenheim to something. We didn't have Boney at the time. But anyway, so we started that, you know, doing that sort of really urban R&B thing back in 1990. And it did really, really well. And we, you know, we made another 9 CDs. And all, you know, they all went basically platinum. So people were kind of like, well, shoot. If he's selling like that many records, I gotta sound like that, and that really ended up being sort of a negative towards, you know, everybody trying to do the same thing, so to speak. But when we first started doing it, the radio would play like 4 or 5 songs off the record, and you know, I think when people hear 4 or 5 songs, they're like, wow, that's really a cool record. I gotta buy that. Not if they hear the same song over and over and over and over, they're like, please, I don't want to hear that song ever again, and I'm not buying the record. I personally think it doesn't help doing that, and it's proven that, you know, it's hurt the genre over the years. I wish they would go back sort of the way Watercolors or some of the digital stations, they just play what they want to play. They can, like, you'll probably play 3 or 4 different songs that you like, and I think that's important. But became corporate, and radio started making money off of it, and it was kind of like, well, you know, they went the same as pop music where they just play, you know, 10 songs all day long. And it's really not inspiring anybody to go out and buy records anymore. So that was part of the problem. And there's a few issues, but, you know, basically the music business is all messed up. I mean, smooth jazz is just a small little, you know, freckle on the music business. But it's not in great shape. But, you know, I still love it. I still love making the music and playing it. So I'm just going to keep doing it, you know?
Amen. Amen. Rear view mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah,
has Chuck Loeb.
I had done a couple of other songs with Chuck. On my very first record, I reached out to him because he was always one of my favorites. And I said, man, do you want to write something for my, you know, I'm getting ready to do my first CD. And he didn't even know I play guitar. And he's like, really? Okay, yeah, let me send you something. So he sent me that song Moment by Moment on my first record. And then after that, we did a song called Las Vegas together. And since then, we've done a few shows together and worked on a few other things together. And on this record, I asked him for something more like a foreplay, you know, very sophisticated kind of piece of music. that I could play blues over and he could play, because if you listen to the song, he's kind of playing the sound that I'm more known for, which is the sort of warmer jazz sound. He usually plays like a Stratocaster type of guitar on his records. But on this song, I had him play the Wes Montgomery sounding guitar, and I played the Telecaster and played like a bluesy contrast over this very sophisticated chord. So I really think it's cool. I'm hoping people accept it.
Most definitely. Well, here it is, Rearview Mirror, featuring Chuck Lope. Here we go. That is lovely. That is lovely. The title track, One Way Back, anything about that?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to do a like an Adele pop song, but, you know, instrumental. And that one sort of has that kind of a flavor to it. It's really not smooth jazz. It's like a pop song, but it just happens to be instrumental.
And that's why I think I love this album so much. I think it's... it's not the best one yet, even though that I'm not good with names tonight. That the rhythm, the rhythm method.
Yeah.
I love that one. But anyways, here it is, One Way Back, the title track from this new album that drops tomorrow from the amazing and wonderful Paul Brown. Here it is, and up close and personal. That is beautiful, plain, plain beautiful. Wow, love it, love it. Well, if with all the things going on in the world and the world seems like it's going downhill every day, it's music like yours that inspires us to keep on one more day, you know, in the fight to survive and everything. As far as this album and as far as your career, how would you describe yourself as a musician?
Oh boy. I don't know. I think in this business, you pretty much have to do everything, and I pretty much do everything. I mean, you know, I write, I arrange, I produce, I engineer, I mix for people, I even master for people, and I play whenever I can, you know, and it just keeps you, it keeps you in the game and it keeps you going. And if I tried to survive just off playing the guitar, I'd, you know, I'd probably live in a mud hut in Tijuana. But so you just, you know, I have to do everything, and I've been lucky to be able to do those things, and I enjoy all of them. You know, none of them are like, oh, this is a pain. But so I would think that for me, I'd probably be best, you know, described as someone who does do most things when it comes to making records, and you know, hopefully a couple of them pretty well.
You think? You think? Okay, so last but not least, excuse me, Hushed. What is Hushed about?
You know, when I probably did Put It Where You Want It, I kind of wanted, at that point I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to do a whole record with at least a few songs like that, where it's kind of old school, pre-smooth jazz, you know, with the big horns and the, a little bit more raucous kind of a vibe to it, all of the Crusaders. And I got together with another guitar player, Jay Gore, who's kind of more of a rock player, and we wrote that song together. And you know, it was supposed to be a sister tune to Put It Where You Want It, kind of. So that's kind of where that's coming from.
Okay, well, we're going to play Hush, and then we're going to come back and let our listeners know where you're going to be playing next. And here we go.
Ooh.
Hush. An up close and personal with Paul Brown. Now tell me, which one of these songs in this album do you think that can beat in some type of way or form the rhythm method, which was the most played song ever?
I mean, I think Put It Where You Want It's got a shot.
Awesome.
That's
now,
first
I do
single.
Have a first single, yes. I do have a question, and you don't have to answer, but
not much.
I hear I hear a lot of guys, you know,
or
a lot of musicians.
My definition of love. Come on.
No, I hear a lot of musicians, you know, you have to be careful how, you know, they don't want to be labeled either smooth jazz or contemporary jazz or, you know, everyone is giving themselves a particular label within the genre. You know, they all playing jazz, but some want to be called smooth jazz, some want to be C jazz. Why is that, and what is your opinion on that?
A lot of people... It's funny, you know, because my dad is, you know, again, they're real musicians. I mean, they're jazz musicians. I mean, they've sung with, you know, Sinatra, with, you know, Satchmo. I mean, you know, it's pretty deep. Harry James, and my mom has sung with Sarah Vaughan and, you know, Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So my dad's like, I don't know what your problem is with smooth. What you guys are playing is not jazz, but by and large, it is smooth. I'm like, well, yes, you're right. Thank you, Dad. He has a point.
He does.
I don't care what they call, you know, they can call anything they want. I don't care. I mean, I think contemporary jazz is fair enough. I'm not personally offended by the word smooth, but, you know, I mean, I'm more offended by jazz because it really isn't jazz. I mean, it's instrumental, but jazz is by nature a more, you know, improvisational kind of thing, and this is pop music. I mean, there's the way the songs are laid out is like a pop song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, a hook, another verse, a pre-chorus, a hook, a bridge, a solo. You're out. That's a pop song. Mm-hmm. A jazz song is here's the head. Now we're going to solo for 5 minutes, and then the song ends. I mean, it's a different, you know, it's a format, but it's different than this for sure. And in soloing, especially in jazz music, you know, they'll play the head and then there'll be several solos. And usually the solos are taking harmonic expression and messing with it and doing things with it in an interesting way. But in contemporary jazz, it's not that at all. It's more a reflection of the song, and the solos are generally a reflection in some way of the song. It's not testing the harmonic structure. It's more about the melodic structure of the song and sort of serving that and taking that to another place, but not stretching the harmonics of the song, because it's more of a pop, like a pop type of thing. And, you know, smooth R&B, that's fine. That's probably more accurate. Instrumental R&B, that's accurate. Pop instrumental, that's pretty accurate. So they're all salt. Doesn't matter to me.
Nice, but you see, but you gave it a definition. You gave an answer, and I like that. That's why, you know, I figured I'd ask you of all people, because you've been doing it long enough, and you'd be able to. Okay, well, we're gonna play the last song, and we're gonna let you go, because I know you've been burning the candle at both ends. Sexy Thing. I know that song was not made for me, but can you tell me more about it?
What makes you think it wasn't made for you?
Oh, Paul, I love you. What's up with that song?
You know, I mean, of all the songs on the album, I would say that one is probably the most smooth jazz song there is. The rest of the album is a way more bluesy, even though that song still has a bluesy element to it, especially in the verses. But, you know, it's got a little sax, because there's really a lack of saxophone generally on this new album. But this song, my friend Darren Ron's playing, and he played great. And he tore up the solo section. And, you know, I guess it's for all women, mainly my wife. But still, you know. We've been married for 37 years.
What? That
we just had our 37th
year. Don't look a day over 30. Look at you.
Believe that.
Even if you look a day over 30.
We both just turned 60. So
wow, Paul.
That's the way it is.
And you're still a sexy thing. So here
back
it is. Your song, dude. Your song.
For you, girl. For you.
And up close and personal. Funky and sexy. Hallelujah. Oh, Paul, I am so grateful that you came onto the show today. I want to congratulate you on this beautiful album. I love it. I think it's like off the chain. If you had any advice for any newcomers, any advice for anyone that is trying to get into the business and become a musician, do you have any advice for them?
Well, like I was saying before, that I think it's very important to do everything you can possibly do. If you can write, you know, if you can arrange, do that. If you can learn how to engineer, learn how to produce, learn how to put songs together, and do all those things, in addition to playing. And they'll all serve you well and have some different income streams, so you can have the freedom to do some of the things that you want to do with your life and your music. And that's what I would do. But I love that I spent all this time thinking about how to sequence my record, and you played it backwards.
I know, right? Because I'm different.
Did you do that on purpose?
If I don't do it backwards, it's not done correctly, okay?
I mean, did you just say, this is the order of the songs I like it in? Because maybe I should resequence.
No. They just came up in alphabetical order, and I kind of play them in the way I like to hear them. So that's the way that went.
All right,
but again, darling, thank you so much for taking the time and coming to, and be crazy with me here tonight. I really, really love you, and I wish you the most success on this album.
Well, thank you so much, and I really appreciate you taking the time to help us all out. So it's very helpful to do these sorts of things and let everybody know what's going on.
Most deaf. Well, where would you be playing next, and when?
I'm doing this thing called Jazz Diego October 15th at the Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego, and it's Paul Brennan's friends, and it's this sort of new package that I'm trying to get out there with, and, you know, brought a bunch of my buddies in, like Mark Antoine, Jesse J., DW3, and Greg Karukas, and we're all going to play that night with a really amazing band, so gonna be a lot of fun. 2.5 hours of, you know, good stuff from each of us.
Nice. And also, I want to mention that Roberto Valle, who is an awesome bassist, and Gordon Campbell, Marco Basti, and Lenny Castro were also part of this. Of this album, amazing. Well, I hope I get to see you on the road soon again, down this way in the Maryland area.
I
haven't
so
seen
too.
You since the last time you were down here with Huge. That's been quite a few years now.
Which club?
At,
was it the Rancid?
Yeah, the Rancid. I haven't seen you since.
Oh, okay. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So
I was there with Mark out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you missed that one. Huh. Darn
yeah.
it.
I miss a lot sometimes, especially now that I've moved into the boondocks.
I didn't probably said like, no, but... yeah, I'm hoping to get back to the Ram's Head soon, either with Chris Standring or maybe with a singer or something. So we'll see.
Okay, well, you know, I love you and Chris Standring together. You're all amazing. And so, yeah, I'll make sure that I don't miss anything else. And, again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for talking with me. I love you. And the best, okay?
Thank you so much, and God bless.
God bless too, hon. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the one and only, the hottest guitarist out here, no one other than Paul Brown. Thank you for joining me today, and I will see you all tomorrow at 7 o'clock with my dogs barking in the background. Y'all have a blessed
night. Good night.
Good night. Stay blessed and keep it smooth, y'all. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Until we meet again, stay blessed and don't forget to keep it smooth. Have a good night.